Alan Hires is an appellate court judge for the state of Tennessee. He lives in Jackson, Tennessee, but is also the editor of a very powerful spiritual periodical entitled The Spiritual Sword, which is published out of Memphis, Tennessee. Alan will be with us in just a moment to discuss the all-important subject of the new birth, what it means to be born again.
The Bible teaches that a man must be born again. All of us are familiar with that phraseology. We've heard it. Preachers have talked about it on radio, on television. We've seen it in tracts, booklets, heard it from the pulpit. And we've even heard political figures speak about being born again. But it is a Bible phrase. And in the third chapter of John, there are at least three passages that speak about the new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 3, it is said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then in verse 5 of that same chapter, again, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then in John 3 and verse 7, a very simple statement, but a very direct statement. "Marvel not." Today we might say, "Don't be surprised that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Here are these statements that emphasize the new birth or the necessity of being born again. And as we've already seen, it is familiar phraseology, commonly used. You've heard it. You've heard it again and again. The real question here is not whether the Bible teaches one must be born again, but what is meant when the Bible says you must be born again. Many people have told us that the new birth is essential. But not everyone has taken the next step to tell us what the new birth is. And so many times after we have been told you must be born again, we have not been told what is involved in that new birth. And it's been left in the minds of many people in a vague, nebulous way that one must be born again, but that new birth involves faith, or that new birth involves some kind of belief, or maybe even that it involves some kind of an experience. And yet we're not always told exactly what is involved. What I want us to do is to look to what the Bible says about this new birth. And not to give you an explanation of man or even an experience of man. What I want us to do is to have a Bible study and to see precisely what the Word of God says about that new birth. In order for us to comprehend that, we need to recognize the context in which this new birth is spoken of. All three verses that I have given relating to the new birth come out of this third chapter of the book of John. And the context in which the new birth is spoken of is a conversation that occurred between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus. And here's what is said beginning with John chapter 3 and verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these signs thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, let's think about that for a moment and look at the context of what is involved. Nicodemus is spoken of as a Pharisee. That was the strictest sect of the Jews. Not only was he a Pharisee, but it is said that he was a ruler of the Jews. And later in this same chapter, in John chapter 3 at verse 10, Jesus referred to him as a master of Israel, or a teacher of Israel. So here is a man that is prominent in his religion. Here is a man that is a master of Israel, a ruler among the Jews, a man that is a member of that sect known as the Pharisees. And when he comes to Jesus and says, "We know thou art a teacher come from God," what is he saying? Well, Nicodemus was a teacher come from God. He was a master of Israel. And yet he knew that Jesus was a teacher come from God. And he recognized that he was not teaching the same thing that Jesus taught. And so, in effect, what he's saying to Jesus is, "I am a teacher come from God. I know you are a teacher come from God. Pray tell what it is you are teaching that is different from what I am teaching." Jesus does not hesitate. He immediately says to Nicodemus upon meeting him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that must have taken Nicodemus quite by surprise. Because when Jesus immediately says to him, at the very beginning of their conversation, "You have to be born again," Nicodemus immediately thought about physical birth. Now, that is not accidental. There is a reason that Nicodemus thought of physical birth. The reason that he thought of physical birth is because the Jewish community placed great emphasis upon their fleshly birth, their fleshly lineage. They were the descendants of Abraham. They were born Jews. They became Jews by reason of physical birth. And I might say that is the reason why that Jesus, in this connection, talks about conversion under the language of birth. Because after all that is really under consideration here is conversion. The new birth is simply another way to speak about conversion. To say you must be born again is the same as to say you must be converted. We must not think about the new birth as something mysterious and something that is better felt than told. It is merely another way of saying, you must be converted. And I'll show in a moment how we know that to be the case. But in this instance, rather than to use the word converted, or to say you must be converted, Jesus transferred that over into the language of a birth. And he says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Why does he do it? Because Nicodemus relied on his fleshly birth. And that's the reason why Jesus, in talking to him about conversion, did not merely say, "Nicodemus, you must be converted." He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." In other words, that fleshly birth upon which you depend, that fleshly lineage that is so important to you, that makes up so much of your religious heritage, will not suffice in the spiritual kingdom. You must be born again. You must not only have that fleshly physical birth, but you really must have a spiritual birth, separate and apart from, different from, that fleshly birth and that fleshly lineage on which you have relied. And I say that the new birth is simply a reference to conversion, and I think we can see that. For example, in the verse that I read here in John 3 and verse 3, it is said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In John 3 and verse 5, we read a few moments ago, it is said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." But in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, our Lord used similar terminology. And listen to the wording of this. "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You notice the parallels? Verily, I say unto you, except there is that clause that is given at the beginning of each of these various expressions that we have read. But in one, he says, except you are born again. In the other, he says, except you be converted. And in both of them, it is said, unless you do this, you cannot enter into or see the kingdom of God. And so, new birth in John 3, verse 3 and verse 5, is parallel to being converted, as used in Matthew 18, verse 3. So what you have here is not a mysterious experience, better felt than told, something that man cannot really explain or understand. What you have is our Lord talking to Nicodemus about the necessity of conversion, except you be converted. But our Lord determined in this particular instance that in talking to Nicodemus about being converted, he needed to speak to him particularly of that in the form of talking about it as a birth. And the reason for that in this connection, as we have seen, is Nicodemus relied upon that fleshly birth. He relied upon that fleshly lineage, upon that background to Abraham, so as to say, this is why that I am a child of God. And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so the idea here is now that Nicodemus must experience that spiritual birth. He cannot rely simply solely upon that fleshly lineage or that physical birth. And so our Lord is talking about conversion, being converted to Christ, our lives being changed. But he's talking about it in the form of a birth in order that he might emphasize to those who relied upon their fleshly standards, upon their fleshly background, upon their physical lineage, that this is not sufficient. That it is necessary for one to be born again, born in a spiritual birth, born of water and of the Spirit. Now, what is involved in that new birth that we have read about? I want to point this out for your consideration. Nearly every religion, certainly every religion that believes the Bible, contends the new birth is essential. And well, we must. Because as we have already seen, John 3 has at least three different verses that emphasize that very point. You must be born again, John 3 and verse 7. So the new birth is essential. Whatever it is, it is essential. There may be disagreement about what it is. There may be disagreement about how it is achieved or how it is accomplished. But there cannot be any disagreement about its necessity. Ye must be born again. So it is important for us to understand what it is. And not merely what it is from the standpoint of some person's personal experience who may say to us, I have been born again and this is my experience. No, it is necessary for us to understand what it is according to the Scriptures. What does the Bible say? What is this new birth? Well, we have already seen that it is a reference to conversion. We have seen that it is spoken of in the form of a birth in order to emphasize to Nicodemus that he cannot rely upon that fleshly or physical birth. And we have seen that he first confused it with the idea of a fleshly birth by saying, can a man be born a second time, enter into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no, that is not what I'm talking about. And really in John 3 and verse 5, you have the Lord's explanation of the new birth. By the way, I've seen some people talk about the new birth and never read John 3 and verse 5. They read verse 3 where it is said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And they talk about the necessity of the new birth, and sometimes they may even drop down to John 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they speak about that wonderful verse, but they never seem to get to John 3 and verse 5, which is really Jesus' own explanation of the new birth. Because John 3 and verse 4 is where Nicodemus asked his question. Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So we cannot really comprehend what is involved in the new birth without looking at verse 5. And in verse 5 it is said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to notice here that birth involves two elements. You don't have two births. He's not saying you must be born once of water and again of Spirit. He's talking about one spiritual birth comprised by two elements. And those two elements are water and Spirit. And we sometimes say, born to Mr. and Mrs. John Smith, a boy. Two elements there, the father, the mother, the man, the woman, the male, the female, Mr. and Mrs. And our Lord is talking about a spiritual birth, not a physical birth, but He carries that figure through to its reality. And He talks about two elements here of this spiritual birth. Except a man be born of two elements. One birth, two elements, water and Spirit. Now, the Spirit is involved because the Holy Spirit is the means through which we receive the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so it is through the Word of God that the Spirit operates in conversion. And we know that seed is involved in birth. And in James 1 and verse 18, it is said, Of His own will beget He us by the Word of truth. In 2 Peter 1, 22 and 23, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Spirit, through the Word, is the begettal instrument. We're begotten by means of the Word. But what about the water? Well, let us think for just a moment about what a birth is. Birth is the beginning of a new life. That's true in the physical realm. And that is true in the spiritual realm. Birth is the beginning of a new life. And for that reason, it is a very joyous occasion. So when we talk about being born again, or born of water in the Spirit, and we talk about a spiritual birth, we're talking about the beginning of new life. But now, not in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense. Is there anything in the Word of God that tells us, and especially in connection with water, how that one derives new life? I want you to remember the verse that I'm about to read, and I hope you will read it for yourself and study it for yourself. It is found in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 3 and 4. Here is what Paul the Apostle says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now what occurs in connection with baptism into Christ? Paul said we're buried in the likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. And he says, as we are raised from the waters of baptism, we are raised how? To walk in the newness of life. What is a birth? New life. What occurs when we're baptized into Christ? We arise to walk in the newness of life. What is the new birth? It is a birth of two elements, water and Spirit. Spirit through the Word, we're begotten, as we have seen from these various verses that we have given. But what is involved now in the water that is spoken of in connection with the new birth? We turn to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. And it's made so plain, made so clear. Buried with Him in baptism. Raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Walk in the newness of life. And so the new birth is accomplished when we hear the Word of God, believe it with all of our hearts. That seed, which is the Word, germinates within our hearts leads us to gospel obedience, where that we're buried with Him in baptism in the likeness of His own death, burial, and resurrection. And when we're raised from the waters of baptism, we are raised to a new life, birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus in the long ago, you must be born again. The idea is here that baptism is a line of demarcation, separating us from the world and the new life that is in Christ. And we go through that act of baptism in such a way that we now become a new life in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. What a beautiful picture of being born into the family of Almighty God. I want you to remember what we said at the outset of our study. Everyone agrees the new birth is essential. They may not all agree what it is. But once we understand that the new birth involves hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God, being buried in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life, surely we will want to do what God's Word teaches we must do.